Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, look to somebody to your left or right and say, God loves you.
God loves you.
And so do I.
And so do I.
You know, we tell the world that God loves them. Smile, Jesus loves you. But you're supposed to be Jesus to this world. You're what they see. And if all you ever do look at them is like you want to rip their head off and spit down their neck, that says love, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, just lovey, lovey, lovey. Love is such a concept that in reality, I don't think we could fathom the fullness of God's love. I think that's why when the Bible says we will be known as we are known, God knows where our end is going to be. He already sees us victorious and all that. And we'll see him in his fullness as well. I got a couple quick announcements here. First off, this Tuesday, August, 7:20. I need to read it as it's written, I guess. August newsletter info and testimonies are due to Miss Vicky. Thank you for sharing as well. And for those of you that don't know, you can share a testimony. If you've got a poem, and God gives you a poem. I don't write stuff in there. And if I do, know that God told me to write something. When they started this, we're going to write something every month. I said, somebody else is. I'm not. I barely got my reports turned in when I knew I had them 3 months in advance. I said, nope. If God gives me something, he'll put it on my heart, and I'll write it, and that'll be that. And so we've, over the years, had people write something that God has shared with them, something he has showed them, something they learned, a testimony of what God has done. And remember what testimonies are supposed to be? They're supposed to glorify God. When I grew up, when my parents got saved, we went to a church, and the first thing they do when they said testimonies was people would say, oh, y'all, the devil's just been whooping on me this week. Exactly how does that glorify God? Especially when he's already given you all the power you need. He's already equipped you. Why is he whooping you? Now, in the coach standpoint, the coach is like, what are you doing, boy? Get out there and play like I told you to play. Anyhow, so things like that. Next Sunday, 7:25, is Compassion Cafe. It'll be open from 9:30 to 10:15. We'll have a delicious hot breakfast, some coffee, milk, and juice for a free will donation that goes to help those in need. Also, please mark your calendars for Sunday, August 15th, for the annual At His Feet Christian Center Baptism and Church Picnic. More information is to come. So, praise God. You know, we were standing back here noticing we may have to move the sound booth. It's kind of full behind y'all in the front rows. But just anybody knows, there's a whole section right here. Yes, it is on the camera, but go ahead. Yep. Praise God. That's what you asked for. It's what you got. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Absolutely. You know, we prayed for that for a great time. And, you know, anybody that knows anything about Florida and the South knows that we are in hurricane season down there. About every other weekend, you can expect one. Or in Okinawa, you can expect one every Thursday. That's the way it worked out. We got a 3-day weekend for 2 months. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, for your generosity, Lord. Father, we thank you that you poured out, you gave us your only son so that we could have a right relationship back with you. Father, not a relationship full of pointless rules and regulations, but, Father, a relationship with love that leads us closer to you, leads us closer to loving others as you love them. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and offering. Lord, I pray that you bless it according to your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I know Super Kids are dismissed. They are wound up. They praised the Lord. They came. They saw. They kicked butt, and they're ready to go. Pat, is Pat gone? Okay. Forgot to put mine in. It's blessed, though. Still blessed. Okay. Well, you know, as Miss Sherry was sharing her testimony, and she said something, and I want to piggyback right off of that into today's message. She said, this is what we prayed for. So earlier this week, the Lord started prompting me on today's message that, you know, a lot of times most of us know how to pray, okay? Some of us, we're a little hesitant. We just don't know. Somebody has to teach you at some point. That's all there is to it. The other day, I met somebody. It was my first grade teacher. I saw her at a family friend's 90th birthday party, and she was in the line. She's in a wheelchair now. But we were talking, and she said, are you still a pastor? And I said, yes, I have for nearly 20 years now. She's like, that is great. And I told Angela, as we were leaving the building, I said, it just dawned on me. I need to go back. I should have gone back. But I told Angela, I said, she was the first person to teach me to pray. The first one. She was my first grade teacher. She taught me at school how to pray. This was after it was illegal, just so you know. She still taught me how to pray. Now, you need to understand the significance of that, because it would be several years later before my parents would even come to know Christ. But she planted a seed of prayer. And so I've never actually been very, bashful about praying in front of people. Somebody said, asked me if I'd pray, and I start doing it. So I want to start teaching. There's 5 W's, what we'll call them, the 5 W's of prayer. Who, what, when, where, and why. Now, the who. You think this would be simple. You think this would be straightforward, wouldn't you? But sometimes people like to throw a little more religion in it. They like to throw a little bit of their own flavor into it. And the truth measure, when you take it away from the word, you have now perverted the word. In layman's terms, you have now mixed a little dog poo with your chocolate chip cookies. Okay? You may still get a little bit of the chocolate chip, but boy, that other stuff's going to overpower it pretty good. There's one sect of Christianity that does not teach you to pray to the Father. Pray to the Holy Mother. She will go to God, and she will intercede for you. That is unscriptural. That is hogwash. Pray to the saint. And there's different sects that even do that. Pray to this saint to protect you. What's the saint going to do? They aren't God. And so as I went down through, and like I said, you think it would be pretty straightforward, wouldn't you? Pray to God. But so many people, then later on, people start saying, pray to the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to the Holy Spirit. Nowhere. One time Jesus said, whatever you ask me, I will do it. If you ask in my name, I will do it. After he had gone to the Father. And this is in John 14. We'll discuss it a little bit. But you have to understand, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are one. But yet they are three. Okay? They operate with one mind. They operate with the same goal. Except Jesus and the Holy Spirit operate to glorify the Father. Nothing they did was to draw attention to them. Nothing they did glorified them. It was all to glorify God the Father. And so when you ask the Holy Spirit, you can say, Holy Spirit, move by all means. Yes, Holy Spirit, you have freedom to move. I was praying that back there in the back. Speak through me today, Lord. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to do things that you're actually supposed to be asking your Father, well, that's a totally different, that's a horse of another color. So today, I actually have a few notes. See, got notes. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, if you were reading this out of your directly out of your Bible, it would be in red. Why? Because this is Jesus himself telling you to pray to God, the Father. He said, don't pray to me, pray to God. Now, for some, there's some people that like to say, well, you know, Jesus was teaching at a time when, you know, he hadn't gone to the cross and, you know, the covenant hadn't changed. The covenant he did was took care of the law forever. He fulfilled it once and for all. So living by law is stupid. I'm just going to put it that way. It's the simplest word I can tell you. But prayer never changed. Do you know the Jews were not the only people that knew who God was? We leave that out of Christianity. I don't know why, but we do. Job was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. Jethro was not considered, still is not considered a Jew, even though he's a descendant of Abraham. Balaam, who heard from God. We talk about it all the time in Sunday school, don't we? About how his donkey was talking. But yet he was a Gentile. The Jews were not the only people who knew who God was. So there was a prayer relationship with God between people for a long time. Now, personally, I kind of like Abraham's version of it. Jesus came down and talked to him in his tent. Jesus had a little bit of bread. Here, have a little snack. But Jesus is telling us, he said, go to your Father. Now, we'll talk about the wares here in a little bit. Don't worry about all this. We're going to come right back to some of these scriptures. But this one shows right here. He said, pray to your Father. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it. He'll give it to you. Now, he said, you ask in my name. That is why we pray in Jesus' name. Now, I've never prayed in the name of your Son. I've never done that. Why? Because I know the name of Jesus. And if somebody's offended, they're offended for Jesus' sake, not mine. I'm not there to hurt them, but I'm going to pray to God. I'm not going to make it, as we have now today, a gender-neutral prayer. Some churches, believe it or not, Christian churches are removing the Father, the Son, all male connotations. Yeah, we won't get on that highway because it is a long highway. But he said, he may give you. Now, I like the word may because here's the thing. A lot of people ask for things they aren't ready for. Do you give your five-year-old a Harley Davidson? And when I say a Harley, I mean an electric glide. We'll throw it that way. It's the big one. Okay? No. Most of you probably started them off on a little plastic-tired three-wheeler. My uncle had this Chips. It was because it was in the 70s. It was a Chips three-wheeled battery motorcycle. Now, we couldn't keep the battery charged back then. That you guys today with these, you know, new Milwaukee batteries, these Ion batteries, you guys have no idea how good they are. Because back in the day, he would probably get 25 feet and that battery was dead. And he was 6 years younger than me, so if he would have been six, I'd have been 12, so I just grabbed hold of the bar on the back and push him, so that motor was fried. But that's how you start out riding. You start out with something, and then you work up. God's not going to go give you things you're not ready for. Sometimes you got to grow up. For years and years, I've shared this throughout the years. I used to pray for a Mustang. My dad had a 66 Mustang when I was born. 289. And I do vaguely remember seeing it. But that was just, to me, that was dad's car. You know, so I was like, I got to have a Mustang. The first car I ever got to drive was a 64 and a half Mustang. And it was ours. Now, mind you, I had to sit on dad's Bible to see over the steering wheel, or at least see through the steering wheel. And we didn't have it very long because there were no floorboards in it. The carpet was the only thing holding us kids off the road. But I wanted one forever and ever and ever. And, you know, just never seemed to work out that I could get a Mustang. And finally, I'd have been 20. I'd have been 23 at that point. Yeah. I'd have been 23. A friend of ours in our church in North Carolina, he had a car dealership. And he had a 1992 hatchback Mustang. 5.0. Cherry red. Beautiful car. Tinted windows. Oh boy, I was liking it. And I think it was a 5-speed, if I remember right. Now, for those of you who don't know, the 5.0s were actually faster than the GTs because they were lighter. But I picked that car up, took it to pick Angela up from her job at lunch, and I'm like, what do you think, babe? What do you think? Don't I look good? Oh, yeah. Boy, I got a little sideways coming out of the road, and we took off down the road. Came back. I dropped her off. She's like, no, honey, just pray about it before you sign anything. I thought, okay, I'll pray. And I'm going back in front. I'm still at Lejeune at this point. And it's a 2-lane highway, straight as an arrow down through there. And some guy in a 79 Grand Prix with no mufflers pulls up. Boom, boom. Second gear, nailed it, and down the road I went. I took the car back, handed Mike the keys. I said, Mike, I'm not ready for it yet. I said, I'll lose my license because it is way too fun. I grew up a little bit. God still had some things for me to do. Later on, I ended up with a 97 Mustang. I was the pastor of this church at that point. Had two little kids. And car seats don't fit in the back of Mustangs. And I said, you know what? It rides like a go-kart. There's no room. Get rid of it. I don't need it. Now, that's not to say that I'm not secretly still desiring a Mustang. It's just saying, I'm not going to focus my life on it. And that's what I was doing. I had driven a 66 Fastback trying to figure out how to buy it, all this stuff. It just didn't work out. But I wasn't ready. Because I'd pray. It was on my list. You know, anybody ever do your dream list? Things you want? You ought to do it sometime, really. What you want for your house, what you want for your kids. We've done that, and I keep coming across them over the years. When I'm looking through papers, I'm like, holy moly, we wrote this in 1992. Well, yep, nope. Well, yep, we ended up having 3 kids and no girls. We ended up with this, or we ended up with that. At one point, I said, I want a blue Silverado. Well, I had a blue Silverado with a silver stripe. It was a two-tone. Great truck, really was. You know, we put our desires down, and those were things that we prayed about. It's not things we prayed about all the time, but they were desires. So we would ask God for these. But some of them, it wasn't time. We weren't ready. The Mustang, I wasn't grown up enough to handle it. It's not that I couldn't handle it. It was, it would handle me. It would take control of who I was, and that's nothing should ever do that. So when you pray, you go to God and you ask, and he may give you. John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you just said things shouldn't make us happy, and things shouldn't, because things can be taken away in a heartbeat. My driver's license was one of those. Talk about not making you joyful. My wife would not have been happy having to take me to work every day and then go back to her job and then go all the way out to pick me back up if I had lost my license. Nobody's joy would have been full. That's why God didn't give it to me. But God, Jesus said, if you ask these things, that your joy may be full. God wants you to have a joyful life. Okay? He doesn't want your life filled with misery and sorrow all the time. He said, you're going to have sorrows. Anybody figure that out? You're going to have sorrows. Jesus said, there is no way impossible that you're not going to have sorrows and trials. But he said, I can ease it. You can have joy. You can have peace. And so sometimes, you know, when you got just a little trinket, you're just so happy about that. Or am I the only one that when I find a little trinket of something I was looking for, I'm just like, oh, I'm just like a little kid. I'm like, wee, wee. I found a tire. Some of you that used back in the day used to go to the tire shops or the junkyards or car parts store. It's a Firestone tire, that big around, and it has an ashtray in the middle of it. I found one of those at this sale, and the whole house was being tore down, so the whole house, everything inside it was for sale, and I found this thing under a nook. I was so tickled. I was so happy over that thing, because I always wanted one of them as a kid. I thought, that is so cool. But when I was a kid, they were full of ashes, and you couldn't just pick them up and roll them across the counter. Somebody would smack you up the side of your head. But that little thing just made me happy. Things can bring you a little bit of joy. But you know what? If that thing were to be destroyed for whatever reason, I'm not going to lose my joy. It just brought me a little bit of happiness. And I only had to pay a dollar for it. That was even greater. So who do we pray to? We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. Because that's who you go to. He's your father. He's your daddy. You don't have to pray to some saint. Lord, I pray for my children. I pray for these. You know, I didn't, when my brothers went to Afghanistan, I didn't send them with St. Christopher's or whatever the medal of choice is. Now, I have heard of people being saved by their medal sliding and actually taking the brunt of the force of a bullet. I know people that they carried their little New Testaments. In boot camp, if you wanted one, you were given a New Testament Bible from the Gideons. And we were highly encouraged to take it whether we believed in God or not. And the reason being, Marines, they figure things out. I'm telling you, you can make rules, we'll figure out how to get around them. But when you're on a rifle range, you're not allowed any artificial support. However, you can have religious documents or religious medallions, and nobody can say anything. The Bible is a religious document, and you put it right there, and it would just make a good resting point for your arm. They told you to take it. Do you know how many people took the Word of God, though, and they still have it? I mean, I still got mine, but I know people that the Bible saved their life because all that thick pages absorbed the blow of a round. But I prayed that God, I prayed Psalm 91. I said, Lord, your Word says that 1,000 may fall at their left and 10,000 may fall by their right, but nothing shall hurt them. I prayed for my brothers, my physical brothers. And then I prayed for my brothers in arms. Lord, protect them. Give them wisdom. See, that is, you go straight to the source. Why would you go in prayer? Why would you go to a middleman? The trend is, if you're not paying attention in economics, is to eliminate the middleman. You can order just about anything from a factory because they save a little bit of money. You save a bit of money. The middleman doesn't save any money, but that's the way things are going. So why would we go to a middleman? Okay, Mary, if you so feel desire, if it, you know, would make you happy, would you take this to Jesus, who's going to take it to God? Jesus said, talk to God yourself, man. You got a straight line to his ear. All you got to do is say, it's in my name. You're coming before God through the name of Jesus. It's the same as Jesus doing it. So who do you pray to? You pray to the Father. You can ask the Holy Spirit to do things. Yes, you can pray to Jesus. You can cry out. Part of my testimony, which, you know, when I broke my back was, and I've never cried out like this, but I said, oh, Jesus, I'm hurt. Okay, I've broken my leg twice, broken my nose, broken both thumbs, been cut pretty good, hit in the head with things, had concussions, and that's the first time I ever admitted I was hurt. And I was. But he was there with me the whole time. He's the one that told me to move, to get up. So we don't have to think, oh, I forgot to pray to plead the blood of Jesus over my family today. No, it's not like the blood of Jesus wears off. God sets his angels round about you all the time, whether you forgot to or not. You do that for you. And don't do it for the reason Job did. Job offered sacrifices all the time because he was afraid his kids were going to sin and God was going to get mad at him and kill him. And God didn't kill him. He did lift his protection. But he blessed Job. Those kids didn't end up in hell. But understand this. Just because you missed something doesn't mean, and like I said, this is only going to be a two-part message. We're not going to get into everything today. So I'm just wanting to make sure we understand who we're to pray to. We pray to God. The Father, I am. You know, that's why his name is I Am. I am capable of bringing a baby. I am capable of bringing that job. I am able to sustain you in a drought. I am able to protect you in a storm. He is. Because that's exactly what that means. I mean, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. If you need me to be an army tank running down the middle of the street, that's what he'll be. He will be whatever you need. But everything's got to be, again, according to his will, which we'll get more into that later. What do we pray about? Well, I've shared a few things. But the unfortunate thing is there's some people that have taught that you can't pray for the things you need. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they will think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for the Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. I believe it was James that said, you have not because you ask not. The vain repetitions. Now, you've been around here for a minute or two, you know there's very few vain repetitions. Yes, I may be sometimes get in a rut of jumping up and just saying hallelujah. I try to throw it up a little bit. I like to keep it fresh. But we do not read a canned prayer. That's why you will hear the same prayer at certain events all the time, because it is something that is in a book. Me, I prefer to put a little heart into it. that it comes from my heart when I'm praying. It's not coming from a vast well of deep repetitions. The one thing I have to say that I like about what I'm seeing with the Chosen, and I get it, some of you can't follow it. I'm doing pretty good. I really do like it. But there's one thing that I've caught, and that's when the disciples are even handed, you know, just an apple for their food or whatever. They will all stop, and they get the same blank stare on their face. And I don't know if they meant to do this or if it was just the way it happened, but when they all recite the same prayer like they're zombies. I'm not talking dead to sin zombies. I'm talking it's religious. It doesn't mean anything anymore. They think they're thankful, but they're just reciting what they've been taught. God is good. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. That's the first prayer I ever learned. Most of you may know it too. You've probably heard it. We teach our little kids that. But how about we teach them to be sincere? Like I said, I just rattled that off with no gratitude whatsoever, to be honest with you. It was just a poem. Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. Vain repetitions, God does not hear them because he thinks, oh, they keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over. I've got to answer them now. Richard, he keeps praying and praying and praying and praying and praying the same old thing. I got to move. Richard's like, I don't even know why I'm praying it anymore. Why? But when it's something from his heart, when the words come from deep within us, we mean it. You know, some people got to pray in Psalm 91. They just, oh, Lord, I pray Psalm 91 over my family, blah, blah, blah. And they do it every day. It's a repetition. There is no relationship with God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you and your spouse only say the exact same things, it gets a little dry. Let's just be honest, right? You know, we get in bed. There was one thing we always said, always kiss me goodnight. She had these pillows. She had this thing on the bed. And, you know, sometimes we don't. Just because one of us has passed out and you might lose your face if you got near them. But when we are awake and we roll over and we give each other a kiss goodnight. Good night, babe. I love you. And I try to mix it up a little bit. And there was one time, I always call her, I love you too, pumpkin. Until one day she said, why do you call me a pumpkin? You know that's a fat gourd, right? I said, well, I said pumpkin, not pumpkin. So, you know, but I caught, and I still do. I call her pumpkin. But I have started calling her gorgeous. Men, tell your wife she's beautiful. At least let the last word out of your mouth into her ear be she's beautiful. Let me get back on track. If I love you flies out of your mouth without any feeling, you're in a rut. You should mean, I love you. When you tell things to God, you should mean. When you're worshiping God here in our services, you should mean it. When you're with Him and you're worshiping, in your prayer time, we haven't even got to the Lord's Prayer. But do you know how many people that is all their prayer life consists of? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And so on and so forth. What did I just say? I just quoted a poem. That's all I did. But when I actually look at it as the model prayer that Jesus was saying, take some time and worship your Father. He is God. He not only is he your heavenly Father, he is God, people. Okay. Jesus may have said, I call you friends, but he's not the friend that you're going to give a wedgie in the middle of a night. Okay? So those of you who understand why some of you probably wouldn't handle being my friend, right there's why. I could stay up till 3 a.m. with no problem. Most of the stuff I did was early in the mornings. But he is still God. He deserves our adoration, our love. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Just before this, Jesus is talking about, he says, look at the flowers of the field. You know, many of us, we just sit back and we look at the beauty from afar, right? You really want to get jiggy with it? Get in the field of flowers. Get down close and look at the intricate details that make up a flower. They're so beautiful. Look at a bird. And then he went on and talked about the birds. See the birds of the air? They don't do anything. And yet, he said, there they are. They're gorgeous. A hummingbird. Have you ever really been close enough? Some of you probably have. Somebody, have you ever had one land on your hand or anything? Because I know you've always had a bunch back here. But you get close enough to look at how beautiful they are. As a kid, even, I love to pick up feathers. I mean, buzzards, they're one of the ugliest birds on the planet. But you look, pick it up and look at the intricacies, the delicacies of that flower or that feather, and see how each little vein is colored and how it's actually created. And yet that is what makes that bird fly. Animals are no different. God ordained them beautifully. Our glorified bodies are gorgeous, folks. We ain't got the middle age spread, the furniture disease, you know, where our chest fell in our drawers. Our bodies are created perfect. We don't get all these little spots when you go out in the sun. And I'm noticing the little bigger ones on my hands. I'm like, where did that come from? Well, that's the sun. Well, yeah, but I'm not going to quit going out in the sun. All the detail that God put in creating this earth and in putting us in it. Our hair. Everything about us is meticulous. And Jesus said, none of these. And Solomon, one of probably the wisest kings, wealthiest kings to ever live, he said, even Solomon in all his fine silk robes was not as gorgeous as one of these little birds. Now again, we look at the little, you know, little finches and wrens, and you know, the male is usually the bright colored one. But look at the detail of the female as well. Yeah, she may have drabber collars. She's there to protect those babies. He's there about flaunting his stuff. But she's there to hide and protect them. And she has got intricacies woven in with different colored feathers that are just woven in around her neck and around her wings and stuff to help her hide. And God said, Solomon's not even as gorgeous as she is. And we worry. Well, can I get next year's fashions? Here, let me tell you a little hint. Quit worrying about fashion. Wear what you want. And when I say that, let me reiterate, let's keep it classy. It's ain't a strip club. Ladies, guy down the road don't need to see your butt cheeks hanging out your shorts or your skirt. That's for your husband. We need to quit worrying about what other people think. Well, how am I going to look? You know, I said something one time. I was getting my hair cut, and I always wore a haircut similar to this there for a long time before I got called, because I'll be honest with you, it's a lot cooler and easier to take care of. I mean, you know, this whole mullet thing, I grew up when that was the rage. I baled hay with that, and you're just drenched, and it was hot. I'm like, I got my head shaved at boot camp. I'm like, ooh, I'm aerodynamic now. But it was a lot cooler and easier to take care of. Bar of Ivory soap. Downside is you get dandruff. But we're worried about how we look. Well, I need to wear the latest hairstyle. Well, I like some of the latest styles too, but understand this, there's nothing new. There's absolutely nothing new coming out. Now, I will draw the line at wearing some of those things I've seen on Facebook of, I don't know what the heck to call them, guys wearing some things that they shouldn't be. But let's be honest, let's look back into 1700s, 100s, 1600s. There's stuff none of us would want to be wearing. I mean, they wore wigs. They had wigs made because they all had lice. And so they'd keep their heads cropped real close. No, thank you. I go without it. I got my own lice to deal with. I don't need somebody else's. But we pray and we worry about these things. Jesus said, so why worry about it? God, your Father, already knows. So, you know, in the event that you forgot to ask, you know, Brenda, you know, in the event you forgot to ask God for a good time, you know, we can pray for our vacations, yes, but if you forgot, God knows you're going. He already knows the desires of your heart. In the event that slipped your mind, because maybe you were praying for somebody else. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of being righteous, his life, his way. I firmly believe that if it's God's will, it is God's bill. And if God is not providing for something, it's not his will. We looked at this church, we had no money. Well, I take it back. We had $3,000. That was for everything. And I literally mean everything. Drywall, carpet, any electric, any lights, any fans, anything we needed to do. We had $3,000. Anybody that's done a remodel project in the last 20 years knows $3,000 goes by in a heartbeat. Let alone being able to buy the building with no money down, which is now paid for. God continued to prosper. It was his will. He kept moving and he kept moving and he kept moving. And we had spent from October to December $18,000. The money just came in. People found out we were doing this. One guy who never stood foot in this building, he has since passed away, but he never stood foot in this building, said, go to Joe's and get all the paint you need. I'll pay for it. God provided. It was his will. And that's the way I live my life. Lord, I'm going forward. You know, some people won't move unless God has already parted the sea for them. Sometimes you got to take that step out on that water. Sometimes you ain't going to walk over on dry land. Sometimes you're going to walk on the water and watch another real miracle. And so sometimes I've had to just say, okay, God, I'm going to put my foot out here and take this step, and I'll stop when you stop. And I just keep walking. Next thing you know, here we are. Our personal life is the exact same way. God, I'm going to take this step. I'm trusting you in it. Boom. There we were. Thought we wanted one house. Oh, yeah. I wanted it because it had 11 acres and mostly woods. And deer were abundant. But so were the mosquitoes. So was the drug dealer on the corner. And while I love Marines, sometimes we don't make the best neighbors, each other. Because the next door neighbor was a Marine, retired sheriff's deputy. I thought, well, okay. I know what Marines were like as neighbors in town and on base. We weren't exactly the greatest neighbors. We all wanted our own way. But God moved us into our dream home. It's our dream. Not everybody's, but it's ours. You can ask her from the day we started dating, and we started actually thinking that this thing might be more serious. We started talking about houses, and I had been drawing for months. There was an old house foundation right up the road from us. And I thought about talking to the farmer about buying that. He later did offer to sell it to me. I just never jumped on it. And I designed a house built on that and did all kinds of cool things with it. And a lot of those cool things were a lot of work. But God has let me do a lot of them in my own home now. My dreams. You know why they came about? Because I sought his kingdom first. I wasn't seeking the things. I wasn't doing what I was doing for a reward. I was doing it because it's what's right. And God has blessed. So when you're praying for people, understand this. You are seeking God's kingdom first. You're not seeking the things. If you're seeking things, I'm going to tell you right now, those things will disappoint you. Your dream home will not be enough. Your dream car, your dream truck, whatever it is, will never be enough. Somebody will always have something that's better, and you'll always want it. Well, if I just work hard enough, you can't work hard enough sometimes, folks. You just can't do it. But when you work for God, well, it just seems like it took an awful long time for you to get your dream home. You know, I'd rather have it this way than any other way. I really would. Somebody just to give it to me. It's one thing you can ask my boys, every one of them, no matter what, how we lived in town or we lived out there, they worked with me on that house. Do you know what I don't have whenever their friends come over? I don't have people knocking holes in my walls, tearing my house up. Because my boys remembered what it was like working on it. I made my boys work. And they respected what they had. So many people, if they aren't made to help, they don't respect it. You know, teenage boys given a brand new truck. I mean, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody that can afford to do that. He gets his license. He's got a brand new F-250 jacked up, diesel. And he's out tearing up things, driving it through people's fields. Does he respect that? Well, Daddy gave it to me. No, he doesn't respect it. My boys, they didn't get that. Joshua and I, we rebuilt his first truck. Tore it to the frame. We've even got a picture of him sitting on the frame. I think the steering wheel was on it, wasn't it? No, it was no steering wheel, but he's sitting on a milk crate. The engine's there, and he's just sitting there pretending he's driving. When we got done with it, it looked like a Tonka toy because it was jacked up, roll bars, big tires, and scary to be in. We ain't lying about that. They like to do this number when they're that high. We both learned to pray a lot. Lord Jesus, don't let us roll, don't let us roll. All right, James, chapter 4. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I believe God wants his people prosperous. I wholeheartedly do. I believe God wants you to be wealthy. But God will not give you wealth at the cost of your salvation. God is not going to make you rich if it's going to mean you're going to hurt other people. That's what I believe. I believe with wealth comes responsibility. I believe you should be responsible with your own finances. That's why most people don't have anything. They just spend it on stupid garbage. Or as James was saying, this is James, the brother of Jesus, who's writing this. And he said, you war and you fight, you lust and murder, and yet nothing is making you happy, and you can't get it. You think that you want what they have, and yet what they have isn't really what is making them happy. Now, there's a generation in here who might remember the group called Coven, which I understand is a congregation of witches. But back in the 60s, there was a song called One Tin Soldier. Anybody remember it? About the people that lived on the mountain who were happy and they were joyful, and the people that lived in the valley were envious. And so they rose up one day and they killed all the people on the mountain, and they thought that what was underneath this rock would be what would make them happy. And when they rolled the rock over, peace on earth is all that it said. See, that's what the angels were shouting and singing the night Jesus was born. Peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. We look and we think, oh, I want what they got, so I got to go take it. That's the problem with this world, folks. This world system is rigged to kill each other or to kill ourselves in trying to obtain what we think is going to make us happy. Big houses don't make you happy. They make your wife angry. She's got to clean it, unless you are actually one who helps. By the way, they're going to make you angry because big houses need work, just like little houses, except big houses, it's a bigger bill. Bigger roof, bigger HVAC, you get in drift. We spend our lives praying and trying to obtain this stuff that is not going to make us happy. And until we realize that doing the will of God is what makes us happy. I haven't made $1 million. I'm not wealthy by any means. But I'm happy. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I enjoy what I do. Yeah, there's some days it's not exactly fun, but you know what? I remember a lot of those when I worked for somebody else too. Suck it up. You just keep marching. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And then when I became self-employed, well, when the boss woke up in a bad mood, I could tell him to go back to bed and wake up again and not worry about losing my job. But if we're going to try to keep obtaining things, thinking, oh, well, God, I'm not going to be happy until I get that brand new truck. You know, I need a dually. I need to be rolling coal, you know. Ain't going to make you happy. I need a hot rod. Hot rods are fun. But let's be honest. What are you going to do when you get your first scratch? Y'all do know that's why the rat rod craze is what's really pushing right now. These are just rusty old cars and trucks, and people made whatever they want. And I love them. But they get a scratch. You don't cry about it. It's just character. They get another speck of rust. Just more character. I was like that. I had gotten the newest car. Like I said, when I grew up, when my dad got hurt, we had junk for cars. It seemed like every 2 weeks we had another car because the other one went to the junkyard. Back in that day, you could buy them for $50. We had a Vega. We had a Pinto. We had a big old land yacht station wagon. We had that Mustang. We had a 66 Falcon. We had a 68 Barracuda. Would love to have that one. But we had garbage. And then when we got this 1991 Pontiac Grand Am, It had just come off a lease. It was 2 years old. Man, no rust. It smelled new. It was clean. Man, I washed and waxed that thing by hand every week for quite a while. And somebody sat on my hood one time, and I yelled at the guy. Somebody bounced a Nerf football off of that hood. I yelled at the kids. Didn't hurt it. But I now began to value that stupid car over people. Yeah, you probably shouldn't sit on people's car hoods. You can dent them. The Nerf didn't hurt it. But I didn't need to react the way I did. See, I had to change. You know, I got this nice crinkle in my new truck out there. It's been there. Getting fixed August 9th. To the tune of $3,200. That's why I didn't turn. I was like, no, that's going to hurt. For a fender. The truck is just a truck. It's got scratches on it. It's got chips in it. It's got scratches I put on it. It's a truck. It's not my God. Do I enjoy that? Yes, absolutely I do. But you know what I enjoyed as well? My 79 F-150 flare side that I had before it. That was seven different colors. Sucked gas like it was going out of style. Lost lug nuts while you were going down the road. Ping, ping. What is that going by my window? It's pinging. And then I started picking up a vibration in the front end. I'm like, I better pull over. And I had two lug nuts left holding my tire on out of six. And I was like, oh, that's what that pinging was. I was trying to ping people going down 61. I learned to enjoy that truck as much as I do the one with air conditioning, which I don't care how old of a truck it is, it's got to have air conditioning. That's not an option anymore. It should be standard. But I'm going to stop here because I want you to understand, God wants you to have those things. He doesn't want those things to have you and to be your purpose for praying to Him all the time. You see somebody hurting. I'm going to get into this, when and where and why. But just so you can start this week, when you see something, if you're on Facebook and you see somebody ask for prayer, pray. You don't have to come up with some great big prayer to say, Father, I ask you to move in their life. You don't need to know all the details. Just ask God. Somebody put, if you're in the church family on the page there, and just because I don't comment, I rarely will comment on those anyhow. And if I thumbs up, it's not mean I'm thinking, woohoo, yeah, you're having a difficult time. No, it means I've seen it and I've prayed. So just so y'all know, if you see my thumbs up, and if I didn't, I've already prayed too. That's the only reason I look at that stuff, because otherwise I'm on Marketplace. I'm looking for junk people are selling for way too much. We'll keep going in there. And like I said, I'm doing this because, folks, we're in a time when you need to know how to pray. You need to know how to believe. We'll keep moving in that realm for a little bit. But like I said, next week we'll pick back up, because God wants you to be happy, that your joy may be fulfilled. Well, I'm right here. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty happy. Well, you know, we were living in had our house remodeled and all that, and I was like, man, I'm pretty happy. And you can ask Angela, I say it all the time. I say, thank you, Lord. But I got that truck, and it's like, oh, okay. The reason why I was happier is because the other truck I had was pushing 200,000. And it was probably just a moment away from leaving me sitting somewhere on the side of the road. And I really don't like that feeling. I've pushed enough pickup trucks. They're heavy. And people don't stop and help you today. If you can help somebody, take 5 minutes out of your day. Well, I'm going to be late for work. If you're that late, you were already late. Sorry. I don't believe in getting work an hour early, but 20 minutes is not asking too much. What are you going to do when you get a flat tire? Call out your NASCAR pit crew. 60 seconds and they're back on the road. No, you're going to fight and you're going to argue. You're going to cuss. You're going to scream, whatever you're going to do about getting that tire out. If you got a pickup truck, it's under the bed, usually rusted in. And then lug nuts are probably put on by somebody with an impact, and you ain't got one. So now you're out there trying to bust them with your wrench, and they're rusty, and you get to work an hour late. And if somebody had just stopped to help you, possibly some, one of those guys who thinks about this and is driving around with a half-inch Milwaukee impact in the bed of his truck with the impact sockets and a hydraulic jack. Because I don't trust them other ones. I dropped my truck last year. My truck fell off of the jack. I actually watched the jack just twist. Yep, done with that. Went and bought me a 10-ton bottle jack. I ain't dropping another truck because I just got out from underneath of it because that's where the spare tire was at. It wouldn't have hurt me, but it would have sure made a mess of my shorts. That's all I got to say about that. All right, let's stand. Now that I'm leaving you with that great image, what'd you learn in church today? Well, I'm pretty sure we started talking about prayer and then something about the pastor messing his shorts. I don't know. Remember when I talked about praying for protection? I didn't pray for protection that day, but boy, I was glad God doesn't have to wait for me to ask for it. So, and if y'all don't believe that I get in stupid positions and predicaments, well, there you have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you do for us, Father. The things that you do that we don't even see, Father, that we haven't even thought about. Lord, I acknowledge that you do this stuff in my life because sometimes I let life get in front of me. Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to pray and believe, Father, and to find our joy in you, not in things, not in other people. But Father, we find our joy in you. Lord, I pray that you move mightily on people's behalf in here today, Father. I know there's people believing for jobs. I know there's people believing for relationship repair. Father, I know some of the things they're believing for. And I pray, Lord, that you begin to move, Father. But we know it's according to your will and according to your timing. So, Father, for those areas, I pray for patience, Father, that we will grab hold of that and just rest. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them as they leave here today. Father, I bless their places of employment. I bless their hands as they work for their bosses. Father, and those that are self-employed, I bless their businesses. Father, may they go forth and prosper as you have declared in Jesus' name. Amen.